Okay, it's good to see everyone live. It's nice to see everyone back. Again, not the same as being in person, but we're going to try our best to continue our shiur. Last week, unfortunately, we weren't able to have the shiur. But Amir Tashem, come on, guys. But Amir Tashem, now we're back to work, and we're going to continue what we're doing, because as we all know and we all believe that the best remedy for such a sickness that's going on in the world right now, besides for following what the doctors are telling us and what medical professionals are telling us, it's to keep on learning Torah. There's no greater way to protect ourselves and our families and our loved one than there is by learning Torah. So we're going to continue doing our thing. We're going to continue learning as best as we can, as much as we can, with the situation that's dealt us. Again, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Rabbi Wolf for giving us this venue, for setting us up, for Stewie Wagner for sponsoring it, for Michael for being on top of it, for all those that made this venue possible, that we can have our own web site, that we can have our own place where we can learn whenever we want, for as long as we want, whatever time we want. So I'd like to thank all those that made this possible. In the parasha last week, I'm not going to add too much, but I'm hoping you all listened to the words of Rabbi Moshe Weiss sent by Jake last week. And if you all did already, then I'm not really adding much, but if you didn't listen, then I'm adding a lot. It was a very short message from Rabbi Moshe Weiss, but I found it to be very powerful, and I found it to be extremely comforting. And Rabbi Shavai pointed out something which people are still grappling with in my community, perhaps in other communities, they've come to terms with it, is this idea of davening alone. For many people, davening b'yechidus is just a stigma. It's viewed as horrible. It's viewed as terrible. And again, from a halachic standpoint, we've spoken in the past that there are times where one is actually supposed to daven b'yechidus versus davening with a minyan. Sometimes it's more preferred. But in any case, obviously, we're very pro-davening with a minyan. But Rabbi Shavai pointed out, as he quoted a letter from the Shem Shmuel, from the Sachet Shava, the son of the Avnei Nezer, who wrote a letter to a fellow that was going to miss Yom Kippur davening. And obviously, if there's ever a day you want to be part of a minyan, it's Yom Kippur. And he explained to him that although you think that davening with a minyan is more powerful, he pointed out perhaps it might not be the case. He pointed out that sometimes when you're davening with a minyan, so you have one Shliach Tzibur who's being Moitziyu, and if that Shliach Tzibur is not perfect, so then your tefillos are going to be impacted by him. He said, but when we're all davening by ourselves, so we're all one big group, and in our large group, there's got to be at least one tzaddik, there's got to be one righteous person amongst all of us, and his tefillah will go on our behalf. And he pointed out the famous Gemara in Baba Kama, which many have quoted during this time, that the Gemara tells us that when there's a plague in the city, you're supposed to go inside. Kanis raglecha, get inside, don't wander around, don't be outside, be inside. And more than anything, he was just very comforting as he explained to all of those that listened, just we'll get through this, we'll be stronger from this. And it was just a very comforting message. If you haven't listened to it yet, go to your emails and listen. And just I found it extremely comforting, this idea that we grapple with, that because we're not davening b'tzibur, therefore our tefillos are not going to work. And yes, our tefillos are limited, but if our tefillos are, and he made one more observation, which I think was powerful. He said, don't forget that davening with a minyan is nice, but davening with kavan is essential. And he brought it from the Rambam, and we discussed this actually in a previous halacha shurim, that davening with a minyan makes your davening nicer. But kavana makes your davening a davening. Reb Chaim has a famous piece where he discusses this in the Rambam Shita, but it's very powerful. So he points out that don't feel like, well, now that I'm not davening with a minyan, all hope is lost and all is forgotten and all is given up. He says, no, it's not true. It gives you a chance to be mechaven better. Sometimes when you're davening alone and you're davening by yourself, you have a chance to be mechaven a little better. You can think a little bit more. You're not rushed. You're not bound by the people around you. Or perhaps you're not tempted to talk with the people around you or your friends or your neighbors around you in shul. So he pointed it out. Said Rabbi Moshe Weiss, it's actually a chance to daven better, although it's without a minyan, but your tefillahs are much more valuable. As we start Parshas Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra, there's a famous medrash. The medrash tells us in this...
things and be added to the email list, just send me an email, JWICHHOZ@gmail.com.
Yeah. I try to listen to them every week, but this week was really something very, very, very comforting. If you want a little comfort and you want to feel good, definitely listen to it. It's not long, it's about 5-6 minutes, but it was extremely moving, powerful, very, very comforting. It helped me ease myself into Shabbos. I used it, I shared it with my shul before Shabbos, but again, even though Shabbos is over, it's still very, very powerful to help you through this very, very difficult time. As we start Sefer Vayikra, there's so much to discuss in Sefer Vayikra, but I think there's only one part that I want to just mention from Sefer Vayikra, because I do want to get to the share at hand, is that the Medrash tells us that Sefer Vayikra used to be learned in the elementary schools. It's not so much done today. In the elementary schools, they don't really learn so much Sefer Vayikra because it's hard, but it used to be that Sefer Vayikra was started by elementary school age or learned in elementary school age. Some communities still do it. The Shach quotes it like that, la halacha. But he said, but the reason the Medrash says is because we want to hire him who should be Isaac in Tahara. Because Karbanos are Mitaher, they're Tahara. So we want the young people should be able to be Isaac in that. Now this closures of the yeshivas, as much as people focus on the Bat Midrashim and the Kailalim, to me the biggest loss is the Tinoikei Shabbos Rabbanim, the elementary school children. They learn with such a purity. They don't know anything, they're not corrupt like adults, like us, Beis Medrash, Kailalim. We already have our agendas and we already have our issues, and our little elementary school kids, you know, third, fourth grade, fifth grade, when they learn, it's the purest Torah that's possible. You know, I get to see it now, my son's home, so I get to listen to him learn on the phone with his Rebbe. It's something so pure about their Torah. And now that the yeshivas are closed and we're focusing on the loss of Torah, to me, and many people have made this observation, it's the Tinoikei Shabbos Rabban. The Gemara says in Masech HaShabbos, the power of the Tinoikei Shabbos Rabban. It's not so much the guys in the Kailalim and the Bat Midrashim, it's the elementary school children and your grandchildren, the simple, the little kids, the 7, 8-year-olds and the 9-year-olds, these boys that have no Yetzirah yet, they don't really haven't yet been corrupted, the parents haven't yet given them an iPhone. They're simple, good kids who just want to do what their Rebbe tells them. And they're Nebuch not able to learn these days. So we really have to make up for the lack and the limit of Limud HaTorah from them, from the Taharim, those people that are Isaac B'Tahara. We also find in the parasha the Torah discusses when you bring a Karban Mincha, the Torah writes, you'll be Makiv Ish, he's Makiv his Nefesh. So Rashi says, it's Ke'ilu he's Makiv his Nefesh. So the Farshim explain, when a person brings a Mincha, that means he's so poor, he can't bring any animals, so all he brings is flour. And although this person is still so poor, he wants to give all that he has, he wants to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we'd call today modern day Mesiras Nefesh. Well, all that we have today is we're giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're very limited today in what we can do. We're pretty much locked at home. We're pretty much stuck. Baruch Hashem, we have technology that we can learn with, and we have digital abilities to learn, but we're really giving up a lot. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu values that very much. Whenever we give of ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Him, for His will, for His wants, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks as if we're giving our nefesh. So here also, when we're working with a very limited capability over here, with very limited resources and assets, we're working just, we have a phone and a computer and a Gemara, we don't have that much in front of us, we don't have that much ability and accessibility, and we're trying our best to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's mamash being Moshe Nefesh. And whenever we're Moshe Nefesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu values that immensely. So, Mirtz Hashem, we should continue learning our shurim, and then Shavuos Chos, Shavuos Refuah Shleima for Periyental Bas Brinda, as well as Chayiroch and Luchama Bas Elta Hudi Zissel, as well as all the other Chaylim that have been affected by this horrific machla. And Mirtz Hashem, in the Chos of our learning, this machla should come to an end very, very quickly, and all those that are sick should, Mirtz Hashem, have a complete Refuah Shleima. We're holding over here just some paperwork. We're holding over here in the sugya of, in Reb Elazar de Mila. My plan is the following, is because Pesach is coming close and we like to learn a Pesach sugya before Pesach, so this will probably be our last sugya of Reb Elazar de Mila, the 19th parak of Shabbos will be today, this Sunday. Next Sunday, what I would like to discuss is an issue that has been brought to my attention by a couple of people. Jeff Rohr mentioned it to me a while ago, and others have mentioned it to me. It's a halachic question, which many of the lawyers here will probably have fun with it more than I will, is what do we deal with cancellations due to the coronavirus? People that booked, let's say, for example, hotels, people that booked rentals, people that booked chasana halls, and obviously now due to the coronavirus, they're either they're not traveling or they don't want to go.
Yeshivas that collected tuition.
Tuition, camps, all these things. How does this work? So, Belina, I'd like to discuss that next Sunday. It's not so much for a Tuesday night share. It needs a little bit more time for a Sunday morning share because we're going to have to see quite a few different sources and we're going to have to really break down and figure out how this works. And I can appreciate the help of all our lawyers and all those that are much more well read about how to deal with contracts than I am. And Belineda will discuss that next Sunday. And then in Mirtz Hashem, the following Sunday, we'll discuss a Pesach topic to be announced. That's just the scheduling, so we all know. This Tuesday, for those who haven't read the email, we're going to be discussing also an interesting Shaila. Is there an issue to have marital relations during the corona outbreak? You don't want to miss it. I understand from Michael people were already curious, so you got to come Tuesday night and listen to hear whether or not it's permissible or not. I will not give away the answer. I want people to come listen on Tuesday. Definitely interesting topic. Also interesting, also a little bit off the beaten path, a little bit ahead of the curve. We'll try to discuss that as well. But for today, let's go back to Reb Elazar de Mila. Let's go back to discussing what we were learning about in the sugya of Mila. So for those who remember last time we met, it was 2 weeks ago, we had an interesting machloikis, Machaber and Ramah. If you have a Mila on Shabbos, are you allowed to split the Mila into two parts? We know that every Mila has two parts to it. There's the Mila, that's the Chaticha, where you cut the foreskin. Then you have the Priya, where you pull back the skin. So both of them are considered a violation on Shabbos. So the question is, if let's say, for example, I have a milah b'Shabbos. So on milah b'Shabbos, you're trying to limit the amount of chilul Shabbos. Am I still allowed to have one person do one part and another person do another part of the milah? Or I should try to limit the amount of people doing malacha and have one person do the whole shebang? It seemed like it was very popular in the times of the Achronim, early Achronim, that they used to have two procedures at every milah. One guy did the milah, one guy cut, and then another guy do the priya. We mentioned 2 weeks ago, there was a question of why was this done? Was this done to get more people involved in the mitzvah? Or was this done because maybe you're afraid you can't have a shliach do it? But whatever the reason was, this was a very common practice in the times of the Beis Yosef, in the times of the Ramah. And the question came up is, what about on Shabbos? Do we say on Shabbos it's better to limit chilul Shabbos, so have less people be involved? Or do we say no? So we mentioned last time that Beis Yosef had a deek from a Rashi in our sugya, that Rashi held that Yutaka should limit the amount of people doing the malacha, and it's better to have one guy do everything. The Ramah over there in Yerodeh argued, as did the Darkei Moshe on the tour, as did a very long Chubas Ramah, which we went through last week, 2 weeks ago, who brought different rayas to why he thought it was mutter. And the way we left off last time, that the machloikis, the issue in the Ramah had to do with, is Mila considered a hutra or is Mila d'chuya? The Ramah compared it to the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. He pointed out that we know in the Beis HaMikdash, you didn't have one kain do every avoidah. The answer is you did normal. So normal means you had different jobs and different people did different jobs. So therefore, says the Ramah, the same way avoid in the Beis HaMikdash was distributed over many people, here also the Mila is considered the same thing. The Vilna Gaon disagreed, and the Vilna Gaon said avoidah is hutra, Mila is dechuya. We mentioned all that information was machloikis we discussed. Now, it was interesting, the Ramah himself, although he's very convinced that he's right, that there's no reason why you can't split it and have one guy do Mila and one guy do Priya. If you look in Yerodeh, he concludes, Lamaisa, it's better, although I think it's really mutter, but because others disagree with me, it's better not to do it. But if you look over here, number one of our sources today is a Mishnah Berurah and Hilcha Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Hilcha Shabbos, number one, he writes, Be Yerodeh Simireish Samachvav Kosev Bahagoh. He quotes our Ramah that he writes, it's better not to have two Moilim do it on Shabbos. One does the Mila, one does the Priya. Instead, the Moil should do the Priya. Now, that's not exactly the way he writes it. If you look in the Ramah, he first writes that he argues on the Mechaber, and he thinks he's 100% right. But then at the end, he says, well, what am I supposed to do? So many, I found one Rishon that argues on me, and therefore I'm going to tell you that you shouldn't do it. But writes the Mishnah Berurah, Ava harbe achreinim, many achreinim, such as the Shach, the Taz, or HaShulchan, later achreinim, kasu sheyesh l'hakol b'zeh, that you could be mekel. V'chein ha-minig b'chol medinas Poland, tamid heim shnei malim, says the Mishnah Berurah, an interesting historical fact, that in Poland, the accepted custom was they always had two moilim, zeh choytich v'zeh pereya bein b'chol bein b'shabbos. That whether it was a Tuesday bris, whether it was a Shabbos bris, the minhag always was that one guy did the chaticha, one guy did the priya, and they didn't think twice about it. Okay, so that was last week's discussion. What I want to just start discussing for this week, before we really get into the sugya, is what happens with metzitza. Now again, Belineda we'll have to discuss after Pesach, hopefully back together in person. We'll get into the whole discussion of Metzitza, with the controversy of Metzitza Bepeh, Metzitza Bekli. We'll get into all that, Belineda. But what about Metzitza? We know that when you're Moitzei Tzedam, you're sucking the blood out. That's presumably also some form of a Malacha. So the question is, would you also be allowed to have three people? One guy does the cut, one guy does the pulling back, and one guy does the Metzitza. Which today actually might be very negay because many people are nervous to do the Metzitza, especially if it's Bepeh, so they have the father do it. Which might not always be such a good idea if the father also has some form of something in his mouth. But let's assume the father checked himself out, and he knows he's got nothing in his mouth. So he figures he'll do the Metzitza Bepeh. But he's not a Moil, so you have Moil number one do the Chaticha, someone else do the Periya, and then the dad wants to do Metzitza Bepeh. Would that be a problem on Shabbos? So Mishnah Berurah quotes a Chochmas Adam, the Chai Adam. Chayadim writes, Dal kolponim layichabe shloisha b'nei Adam. Says the Chayadim, although the minig was accepted in Poland, and where the Chayadim lived was Vilna, was an accepted custom, is that we did divide it. We had one guy do chaticha, one guy do pri, even though it's Shabbos. And we want to limit the amount of chilul Shabbos, but we allow everyone to do their job. Writes the Mishnah Berurah, writes the Chochmas Adam, but layichabe shloisha b'nei Adam. But you shouldn't give three kibudim out. Ella ha-pairea yiyah ha-moitzetz. But the one who does the Priya, he should also do the Metzitza. Zogt Mishnah Berurah, Avol b'Yishuas Yankiv, but the Yishuas Yankiv, Doi Chazeh, he pushes this away, because of the Metzitza Yochel Yes Ba'achar. He says, no, that even the Metzitza can be done by a third party, to who inyan bifnei atzmoi. So the question is, again, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, but just to point out, what exactly is the machlokes between the Chayodom and the Yishuas Yankiv? Why should Metzitza be different than Pri? If you tell me now we follow the Ramah, that you're allowed to do Mila b'Shabbos is what we call Hutra, it's like Tuesday. So whatever you do on Tuesday, you do on Shabbos. So if on Tuesday you have three people, so on Shabbos you have three people. What exactly is the point of the Chayodom and what's the argument of the Yeshuas Yaakov? So again, we are getting ahead of ourselves because we don't yet know what the role of Metzitza is. Is Metzitza a chelik of the Maisa Hamila or Metzitza is just a medicinal treatment? If Metzitza is just a medicinal treatment, so that's not a chelik of the Mila, so then maybe you can make an argument that there's a difference between those parts that are actually Mila versus those parts that are medicinal. Medicinal, maybe you should try to limit. But if you remember, we mentioned that that wasn't so pashut. If when it comes to refuah b'Shabbos, do you have to cut back? Right, you have to have, let's say for example, you have to have one doctor work the whole hospital because you have to limit the amount of chilul Shabbos. We mentioned that might not be the case. Might be chilul Shabbos, refuah b'Shabbos might be also hutra. So if it's also hutra, so then maybe it should also be mutter. So if you look very quickly in number two in the Minchas Ariel, a contemporary sefer, he writes, v'yesh l'ayin b'kavonat ha-chachmas adam. We have to look into what exactly does the chachmas adam mean. He's going on those people that permit two moilim. Im kain, kol shekain mitzitza, de ene ma keves, right, again, mitzitza is not even the chedek of the mila. Even though those that hold it is a chedek of the mila, it's not ma'akev. If you have one guy do the mila, and the second guy do the pulling, so definitely it should be mutter. Now, I'm not really sure why he thinks that way. Why is that such a kol shekein? Why is that such a given if you hold that that it's not a chelik of the... that if you hold that it's a chelik of the mila, but it's not ma'akiv, so then it's partially you should have a third party do it. I'm not sure why. But he writes over here, near the kavanas
of chachmas adam. Can I clarify something?
Yeah.
What is the pulling? When does that...
That's after they cut, they pull back the foreskin. And they expose it. That's right after they cut, they pull back. And then afterwards they do the metzitza. That's the procedures in the regular meal. You cut, you pull back, and then you'll get the blood out through metzitza. So we know, we discussed this in previous shurim, it's not clear where you learn out the idea of priya from. We'll talk about it again this week. The Torah doesn't say anything about doing a priya. The Torah says, v'yemesh mini yimol, do a mila. So we mentioned there's a Gemara in Yevamos where the Gemara in Yevamos learns out from an extra pasuk somewhere that he's supposed to do a priya, which is why many, it's a discussion if the priya is ma'akiv. Again, we know, we learned the Mishnah in the end of the parak that says, if you did a mila without a priya, you did nothing. It's a chelik of the mila. It's a part and parcel of the mila. Question is how exactly we know that. We'll discuss that a little later today. So then he concludes and he comes up with the following lumps. He writes, v'nir b'kavaron s'chach masadam. He thinks pshan d'chach masadam is like this. The hocha eino isa mitzad ha-pireya, el mitzad ha-moitzetz. He thinks number two can do whatever he wants. He's the pireya. He's running an essential part of the mila. The problem is number three, the moitzetz. He writes, given the mitzitza eino kimilu priya, el ikra mishum b'kuach nefesh, bozei ikra svara doi laharbis b'gavra b'chol Shabbos. El odif shapireya hu yimotzitz. B'kivin shu kvar mis'asik b'chol Shabbos yidei mila, odif shu gam yimotzitz. So he wants to suggest, pshan l'chayodim is like this. Number one and number two have complete permission to do what they're doing. They're essential parts of the ma'isa mila. Number three is not clear what his role is. Is he a medicinal role? Is he a halachic role? So if it says the Chacham HaSodom, so why have him do anything? It's not worth it. Let number three sit out, and let number two do number three's job. So therefore says the Minchas Ariel, what he thinks Pshat Nechach Masadim is because since there's an argument about what exactly the role of Metzitza, meaning if the role of Metzitza would be clearly defined as a Chelik of the Mila, then why is it any different than Pariah? Same way Pariah, number two is allowed to do his job, and number three is allowed to do his job also. But because number three is really a question of medicinal, it's like the first two are, let's say, halachic, and the last one is medicinal, so then if we could limit the amount of medicinal Chelo Shabbos, then it's better. Now that sounds very logical.
So why is that better if the second guy does it? He should stop. He shouldn't do the third thing either if it's only medicinal.
But someone needs to do it. Once it needs to get done, because it's essential for the baby, so why have a new party do it? Let number two already do it.
Essential for Bikuach Nefesh?
Yeah.
So why can anybody
do it? So he argues. So one second. So if you're going to convince it in such a way, you're trying to convince us in such a way that Metzitza is Dover Tzdodi, it's a separate part. So he says, Ulufi Zeh, Tzarechi and Katan. Ma time that Yeshua's Yaakov, the cause of that Moitzes who in Yimifne Atzma. So how do you understand Yeshua's Yaakov? The Yeshua's Yaakov writes that the Moitzes could do his job. So he says like this, V'ulai, kiven de zeh inyem b'fnei atzma, zeh gam siba de ispa din heta chil shabbat chil b'fnei atzma. Since it is a separate part, so it's like all the steps of Mila. You have step one, step two, step three. So the same way step one could be one person, step two could be one person, step three could be someone else. V'ein tzarech shapareya yaseh zois. So he wants again, so this argument between the Chochmas Adam and the Yeshua's Yaakov is going to be basically, how do we understand Metzitza? Is Metzitza a third step in the process of Mila, like Pareya? So then you can have another person like you can have for Perea. But if you hold it's just medicinal, so then the argument, again, you can even argue in this level and say that maybe, even if that's the pshat, maybe once you can have anyone do the Chil Shabbos. But he's suggesting that the Chochmas Adam thinks that once it's just an issue of Chil Shabbos, so then he thinks it's no reason why we should have a new person be Mechal Shabbos if number two can do the same job. Okay, this is really ahead of ours. I just wanted to mention it now. Let's go back to the Gemara number three.
What's the Pasuk Malach? Is it Dash?
It's probably going to be some form of chabur, I guess. You're sucking the blood out, you're going to be mighty the dam. It'll be some form, okay, maybe it's even a makab apatish. My assumption would be some form of sheikhit. You're extracting the blood.
Like a woman that expressed milk on
that would be mefarek, which is a told of dash. Maybe. That might be. We'll have to see when we get there. We'll have to figure out what exactly would be involved. But let's go back to number three. Why? You don't want the blood there.
Because you want the blood, you just want the blood out. It's not that you want the blood.
Right, you want the blood out. Okay, so we have machlokes, right, so we told him machlokes tanoim.
Right, which we hold, which we pass in as the Rabbana. So the Rabbana, the makom mitzvah, makom pikuach nefesh, what exactly?
No, so you have to do it. The question just is, who should be the one to do it? No one's arguing that you're going to do Metzitza on the Shabbos. The question is, should we have a new guy be Mechal on Shabbos, or let the same guy that's already been Mechal on Shabbos continue?
But even if it's Dechuya,
right,
and most we're talking about an Issa Rabbana.
Perhaps. But again, the question just is there a reason to have another person do a malacha if we can have...
Why is it awesome?
It's not awesome on Shabbos. The question just is, are we going to have a new person do it or are we going to let the same person do it? Someone's definitely doing Metzitza. We're not letting this baby go without Metzitza because it's dangerous. Now we'll see, Billy Nedim, when we get into the sugya, a very famous kasha from Rebbe Kivager, that why can't you just have the Mila take place a minute before Shkia? Again, you don't have to do Metzitza the minute after. So do the Mila right before Shkia, wait 40 minutes, and do Metzitza right ready after Shabbos. That's a famous kasha from Rebbe Kivager. I think Rebbe Kivager asks it.
If the second guy is doing this, he's getting a different... He's doing something differently.
Right.
He's doing it differently.
He's doing a different Chilul Shabbos. But he's already involved in Chilul Shabbos.
Two individuals each get one.
Well, that really takes us back to the shiloh we had at the beginning. So why should you have one guy do one part and one guy do a second part? What do you gain by that? So that was the argument the Machlokes Mechaber and Ramah. The Mechaber said, you have to limit Chilul Shabbos. So if one guy is going to do an act that has two parts of Chilul, split it up. We mentioned that the Ramah writes a Svara that it should be like Shnaim Shasua. That if we split it up, that means where it's like two people doing the malacha, to which the Achrayim ask, it's absolutely not comparable at all. Shnaim Shasu means we both do one malacha. Here, we're each doing a separate part of the malacha. So that part of the Ramah we had difficulty explaining last week, as did the Achrayim point out. So if we go back to number three, the Gemara. Zok the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan. Mahalkatin es hamila. You're allowed to gather up the mila. So Rashi says right away, number four, Bitzitzin hama'akvin. Now this is very important. We had a machloikis with Shoinim last 2 weeks ago. What is this Gemara talking about? Rashi, the Rav Rishonim, learn that this Gemara is talking about a case where a guy does the Mila, and he forgot the Tzitzin Hama'akvin, the strands that invalidate the Mila. Meaning he did the actual cutting, but there are certain strands which the Mishnah describes, which I don't really know well enough, that describe what they are, and those invalidate the Mila, the Ma'akiv Es HaMila. So this fellow did the Mila, but he did not yet get those strands. So the Mishnah, that's the way Rashi learned. The Ran learned differently. The Ran learned, we're talking about a case where the guy just did Mila, and he didn't do Priya. So this is going to be very important going further today. We have a Machlokes Rishonim what this Gemara is talking about. Rashi learns the Gemara is talking about where you did the Mila, but you didn't get the Tzitzin HaMa'akfin. The Ran learns, you did the milah, but you didn't do the priya yet. We'll see why this is going to be very relevant. So says the Gemara, v'imloy hilkit, if you don't go back for whatever you need to go back for, einish karis. The punishment that you're going to carry is going to be karis. Frak the Gemara, money, who gets karis? Amarif kahana uman. The moil gets karis. Why does the moil get karis? Says Rashi, number 4, right under it. Says Rashi, mehalkatin, betzitzin hama'akfin. We're talking about those strands that are ma'akiv the milah. Money, karis zushal mihu. Who gets karis? Amar Rashi, uman. Oynish karis, ubi Shabbos koi. Because we're talking about a case where the milah took place on Shabbos. Shechilo Shabbos, v'layos a mitzvah. The moil does a milah on Shabbos, but it didn't do the mitzvah because he forgot that tzitzin hama'akvin. So since his moil didn't do the mitzvah, he's going to get karis because he made a chabura for no reason. He didn't become a mitzvah. It's like he just cut the kid, and therefore he's going to get karis. So frak the Gemara, maskavala of papa uman, what do you want from the moil? Lay malu, let him say to the people, ano avdi palga the mitzvah, I did half. You finish up the job. Why are you looking at that? I did nothing. I started the process. Either according to Rashi, I did the cut and not the tzitzin, or according to the Ran, I did the chaticha and not the priya, but it's not nothing. So why don't you finish up the job? Now this is what we need today. Elam Rapapa Gadol. We're talking about where it's an adult. So the karis is not on the moil, the karis is on the adult, a 13-year-old boy who never had a milah. So now he's walking around without a milah. So because he's walking without a milah, he needs karis. He gets karis. So maskev Rashi Gadol. If the whole chiddush in the brayis is that a gadol who has an improper milah, it has, gets karis. That's a mefarsh pasuk. It says in the Torah of Ora Zochel Shelayimo. So that can't be chiddush of the brayisa. The chiddush of the brayis is a pasuk in the Torah. The chiddush in the brayis is that if a person doesn't do a bris milah, he gets karis. That's a mefarsh pasuk. El Amr Vashi La Olam Uman. No, we're going back to the karis. Is going to be on the moil. Ukigoyin the also bein hashmosh is the Shabbos. But the case over here is, according to Rashi and Rav Yishayim, is that the moil gets called to the milah on Shabbos. It's a milah b'Shabbos. And now, the omrule, the people tell the moil, loy mispakta. You're not going to have enough time to finish this milah before Shabbos ends. This milah is going to creep in to Matzah Shabbos. The omar luhuri tells back to the people, mispakina, I'll get it done. Don't worry about it. I'm a professional. I've done a million of these. I'll get it done chick-chack before Shabbos. What happens? V'avad, below your topic. And he tries and he starts and he realizes he's not going to get done before Shabbos closes. V'shtakach t'chabur hu da'avad v'oynish karis. And therefore, it comes out that what he did was, it was a chabura, and he's going to get karis. According to, let's see how Rashi reads this Gemara. Elam Rapapa, v'gadol shemo kamayri. We're talking, the first half of the Gemara is we're talking about a gadol. Ubechol, it's regular Tuesday. And the karis was not because of anything he did, it was because of his status. Because since he didn't get gemalt, he's an arul. The Gemara changes that. The Gemara says, no, the karis is for the moil. Why the moil? It's like Rashi, who can go into Asa ben Ashmoshes. The chol hayoim kashal amila. You can do a mila a whole day. They say to him, loy mispakta ligmar biyoim kilchosai. They tell the townspeople, the rabbanim, told this moil, you're not going to get the mila done before nightfall. And then what you're going to be doing is you're going to be cutting this baby for no reason because it's not even a mitzvah because you didn't conclude it on Shabbos. The Einish Karis, and that carries an Einish Karis. Miu mis misoleka. So Rashi's bothered with Akasha. One second. If all the Rabbanim tell this guy you're not allowed to do this and he does it anyways, why is he only getting Karis? Shouldn't he get Misa? Isn't that what, you know, Chilul Shabbos is? Two people tell you if you're going to be Mechalel Shabbos, you're going to get shot. You're going to get killed. So why is it only karis? Karis is something you get from Hashem. Why doesn't he get misa from Bezdin? He never got hasra le misa. He never accepted hasra. Now we have to explain, what does Rashi mean over here? What did the people tell him? All the people told him was, you're never going to get it done before Shabbos is over. Again, we're talking about a Shabbos afternoon. Shkia is at 7 o'clock. The mayor shows up at 6:30 and he starts opening up his bag and setting everything on the table and he starts finding out who's going to be the kvater. And as the clock's ticking down, the rabbanim say, there's no way you're going to finish this before Shkia. And the mayor says, don't worry, I got this covered, I've done this a million times. And kachavi, the mayor doesn't get it done. Now I'm waiting for someone to ask me, maybe because we're on mute, I don't know. I'm waiting for someone to ask me, Reb Kivegas Kasha. Reb Kivegas Kasha and the sugya is what? Let's say the mila creeps in to Bein Hashmashes. But Bein Hashmashes is Safik Yom Safik Laila. Maybe it's really Yom. So how can you give someone the death penalty for violating a Shabbos when it's only Bein Hashmashes? It's Safik. Bein Hashmashes is Safik Yom Safik Laila. Right? We all know, if let's say, for example, b'di'eved, you didn't shake lulav during Ben Hashmashes. B'di'eved, you didn't read Megillah, and it's already Ben Hashmashes, so you read the Megillah without a bracha. Because we're suffic, it might be yom. So what did the Mael do over here? The Mael sat over here with his knife, and he cut the baby starting before Shkia, and the meal continued till after Shkia. Oh, says the Gemara, he's going to get the death penalty. For what? What Chilul Shabbos? It's suffic yom. You're going to give a guy a death penalty because of a suffic? How do you have the right to give someone death because of a suffic? So we'll see. That means you're not supposed to do it. That doesn't mean you can give someone the death penalty because of it. To give the death penalty, you have to prove. Now, just keep in mind one thing over here. What type of death penalty is this? It's Kuris. Who gives Kuris? Hashem. Hashem knows what Safik Yom, Safik Laila is. We as a Beis Din can't give someone Misa. Meaning, if a guy came to us, if a guy's Mechalal Shabbos 7:03, whatever, Shkia was last night 7:08. So a guy comes 7:10 and he turns on the light switch. Can Beis Din give him Misa? Absolutely not. It's Safik. But Kuris doesn't come from Beis Din. Kuris comes from Hashem. Hashem will figure out a way to work out the suffix element. I'm just bavurning this because Rashi seems to be asking Akasha, why is there no Misa? What do you mean no Misa? I'll tell you why there's no Misa. There's no Misa because it's suffix Yom, suffix Laila. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says the reason why this guy doesn't get the death penalty and he only gets Kuris is why? Delay Asru Bela Misa. He was never warned. The Edom never told him that you should know, if you do this, you're going to get Misa. All the Edom told him was, there's no way you're going to finish this before Shabbos. So Rashi, another line. He never accepted it as Asra. So why does he get Kuris? So Rashi, the Kuris Ika, the Aschola Berushus, again, there's a way how to read Rashi over here, the Aschola Berushus, the Hischov, the Nina Shabbos, Litchas, Etzla Bishazu. So Rashi is walking a very thin line over here. Rashi's saying that he never got a formal warning that if you do this, you're going to get Misa, which is why he can't get Misa in court. So then why does he even get Kuris? So Rashi, that he could get. So Rashi didn't explain. Why do you get Kuris? Meaning, if I didn't get Hasra for anything...
There's a couple issues with the Hasra. One is the Hasra
suffic on two levels. Good, we'll get to that.
Maybe he'll finish on time. Uh-huh. Two, it's Spanish Rajas.
And number three is this guy was convinced they're all wrong.
Yeah, it wasn't on Shabbos.
No, it started on Shabbos. And on Shabbos, they tell him, listen, buddy, there's no way you're going to finish this on Shabbos, and you're going to go into Matzah Shabbos. And he tells them back, no, I'm going to get it done. I've done this a million times. So what type of Hasra is that? I'm looking at these guys as they fell off the face of the earth. They don't know what they're talking about. These guys don't understand the sugya of Mila. They're a bunch of Rabbanim. They don't know Mila. I know Mila. I've done this a million times. I always get it done before Shabbos closes. So as far as the Moyle is concerned, what did he do wrong? Perhaps nothing. So we're going to have to see, why does he even get Kuris then? He made a mistake. He was a shogeg. Yeah.
So, and if he starts on Shabbos, and then he continues in the Shabbos, so.
No, but the problem is, on Shabbos, the cut that he did on Shabbos wasn't considered a Maisa Mila. So when he violated the Shabbos, it wasn't for the sake of a mitzvah. Now the Sfasemis has a kasha. I didn't put it on the papers because I was having difficulty with my Oitzer Chacham on Friday. The Sfasemis has a kasha that there's a sheet in the Gemara in Yevamis that a Mila Shalei Bezmani can happen at night. So frek the Sfasemis. So this baby, day 8 is Shabbos. So the Moel starts on day 8 and he continues into the night of day 8, which is what we call day 9. So, fact the Sfas Emes, that's a Mila Shalei Bezmanei. Mila Shalei Bezmanei could take place at night. So, fact the Sfas Emes, what do you do with that? So, he has a teretz. But Pashtus, if the Mila has to be completed by Shabbos, if the Mila is not completed on Shabbos, then all that you did was a waste of time and a violation of Shabbos because you cut for no reason. So, if you look over here in number 6, I'm sorry, in number 5 in the Chedush Eran.
Can I have a question?
Yeah.
If he started on Shabbos and we don't hold by Bennett, so it's not a meal. Even if you finish it after Shabbos, the guy is not mild.
Right.
He's not gemal.
That's right.
He has to do it something else again.
Oh, good. Now you're leading us towards a very important kveg, which we're going to get to later. The assumption in our Gemara is that whatever you accomplished on Shabbos was worthless. Now you have to work your way in the Gemara. According to Rashi, what does that mean? It means you did the cut, but you left off the tzitzin. According to the Ran, it meant you did the cut, but you didn't do the priya. Keep that in mind. But the Gemara seems to be saying that whatever I accomplished on Shabbos was worthless, and therefore it all was for a waste, and therefore it's considered that I violated the Shabbos. We'll see how to deal with that. Now, the other kasha, while I was waiting for someone to ask me, is another Reb Kiva Eger. For Reb Kiva Eger, if all I did was destructive, so I'm pater, because we hold mekalkal b'Shabbos pater. Destructive acts on Shabbos, you're not chayiv for. So for Reb Kiva Eger, every milah is not considered destructive, even though you're cutting a baby, because why? You're accomplishing that now the baby's gemalt. But for Ekiv Kiveger, in this case, where all I did was cut the baby, and I didn't get the mitzvah, so the baby is not nesakin, the baby wasn't fixed, the baby wasn't, I didn't accomplish anything. So it resorts back to being an act of destructive. Acts of so good, we'll have to get to that. So that's what the Gemara says in Shabbos. So why is Chabura ever a problem? So the Gemara says that we see from there that the Mila is a problem. Mila is the exception to the rule. Okay, we'll come back to it. It's a good question. We'll see when we get back into that sugya. Now, the Ran over here, he writes like this. Number 5, Pirish. Kivan de Brishus hu asa, since the Moyo started with permission, afilu yasa ela mitzas mitzvah patur kengayin de asa ben hashmashis. Kloimar, this is what we need. Zok the Ran. The case is where he comes ben hashmashis. Shalai matzei ma'o lomo b'shabbos. You couldn't find the Moyo. At somal chachashecha, right before shkia. And they say to him, this is where the Ran argues on Rashi. And the Ran learns that the question over here was, did you complete the Priya before Shabbos is over? So writes the Ran, you did the Mila from the day, Priya ad Matzei Shabbos. But you didn't have a chance to do the Priya until Matzei Shabbos. The Nimtza Shechilo Shabbos, Shalai B'Makim Mitzvah. You were Mechal Shabbos without a Mitzvah. U Shalai B'Rishus Asa, Chabura. You can say, I did half a mitzvah. This is the way you be the braisa. You have to look into yourself. You got to make sure you can get everything done on Shabbos. If you did not get it done until it got dark, einish karis. Now, the reason why I'm emphasizing this word in the Ran is it seems like from the Ran that you actually did it Ben Hashmashis. Well, see, Rabbi Kiveger ends up learning that the case of the Gemara wasn't really Ben Hashmashis, because Rabbi Kiveger had his kasha. Ben Hashmashis, you don't get karis. But the Ran seems to be saying it was mamish Ben Hashmashis. What are his words? He says, Ela Mishech Hashecha, once it got dark. So it sounds like it was Ben Hashmashis, and therefore we'll have to see how to get around that problem. The Taisus and Rosh.
It's the problem that he ignored those who warned the other Rabbi. That told them you're not going to get it done. So I'm thinking, let's say a guy's not a solar worker, right? So he thinks he's taking a person that's pikuach nefesh to the hospital. Turns out the guy is not pikuach nefesh. He did it. He started the mitzvah with the idea that it's pikuach nefesh. And this mile started the mitzvah with the idea that he is going to complete the mila.
So the question over here is because there were the naysayers over here. Because there were people telling him it's not going to happen, how does that change it? His argument is, I'm an expert model. I know better than you guys. But the people are telling him, don't try. So we're going to see how that works. So that takes us to the next issue. The Tosfos HaRosh, over here, number 6, learns a different shot in the Gemara. The Tosfos HaRosh writes, why do you get karis? Zok the Tosfos HaRosh, shari b'mezit asa chabura. This guy's amazed. He's amazed. I frek the Tosfos HaRosh, v'hai de omar mistapikna. Frek the Tosfos HaRosh, what do you mean he's amazed? How can he be called amazed? He was telling everyone, I'm going to get it done. Says the Tzitzis Rosh, this guy knew in the back of his head, there's no chance in this world, I'm going to get it done. But he didn't want everyone looking at him like he's a guy. So he made up an example. He said, oh, don't worry, I'll get it done. But it wasn't real. The Tzitzis Rosh is learning that this guy knew good and well, there's not a chance in this world that he's going to get it done. But he had to say something because it makes him look terrible. It makes him look like he's an avarion. It makes him look like he's a machal Shabbos b'fahesya. So he tells the people, don't worry, I got it covered.
He's changing the facts, the different facts now.
No, he's just reading into the Gemara that when the Gemara said that the guy... he's reading into the Gemara that when the Gemara said that the Moyel told the people, he didn't really mean it, he was just using it as an excuse. Nah, it's a big doichik in the Gemara. It doesn't sound like that, right? So he goes right and he writes, Avo Yadu, he knew Shloyaspik. Dim Lav, Dim Loikain, Loi Mechayiv Karis. So again, argues the Tosfos HaRosh, 1 second. How do you learn the Gemara like Rashi? According to Rashi, this guy shouldn't get Karis. He had the purest of intentions. He went into this procedure saying to himself, I've done this a million times and I know that nothing, I'll get it done before Shabbos. And then he gets karis. For the Tzitzis Rosh, why does he get karis? So the Tzitzis Rosh has to twist the Gemara to make it that the case must be where the guy knew good and well he wouldn't get it done. Because if not, why does he get karis? So Rashi, we have to go back and explain Rashi. So according to Rashi, Taka, why does he get karis? Why should I listen to all those people? I know better. I'm an expert moil. I did this 100 times. Why should I get karis? The only thing is, back to the Tzitzis Rosh for a second, so why doesn't he get skila? If this guy was an open avarian, he should get skila. Says the Tzitzis Rosh, no, miu skila leka, shari la kibla olav hasra. He never accepted their hasra. He didn't listen to what they had to say. But deep in his heart, he was an avarian. He was a Mechalel Shabbos with the worst of intentions, and therefore he gets cursed. So we have a...
But what is the matir here to start with? There's a matir, and maybe this goes with what Stewie said before, there's a matir here to start.
Right.
So once you're in that, once you do that, how do you get into a courage situation?
No, because the argument was, according to the Tesura, she never had real permission to start this guy. This guy knew good and well he'll never finish it, which means he had no permission to start. He started it anyways, knowing he won't finish it, and he just gave us some excuse, I know I can do it. So he's mamash and a vayin. So for the Teis Rosh, give him skila. Why did you only get karis? Says the Teis Rosh, because he didn't really, was never mekabel the hasra. So now we have to figure out.
What do you mean it was mekabel the hasra? Any avayin could say that. I didn't mekabel the hasra.
Okay. So that's a bigger discussion that we have to get, not so much for our sugya. Rashi also wrote those words, right? Rashi wrote, v'loy kibel all of hasra. So the Echvarim talk about, what does that mean, v'loy kibel all of hasra? We'll see in a little. We'll talk a little bit about it in the Chazon Yecheskel. Reb Chaskel Abramsky has a piece over in number 10. He'll try to make it a little clearer for us. Now let's go back to Rashi for a second.
If you ignore the
Hasra, the meal is going to be puzzle anyways. He didn't get anything done. Well, I mean, you argue sometimes easy.
Let's say
I mean, you're saying he's a puzzle moyel.
Yeah. Let's say he finished before Shabbos, right? But this is a guy who clearly was.
That's a good point. So he should lose his status to be able to be a moil halachically. It's a good point. I'm not sure. I hear the aura. I don't know why the Tosfos. Again, I understand why the Tosfos Rosh says what he says, but he makes things much more complicated in his version of the Gemara. But the truth is, you have to ask yourself, according to Rashi, why Taka is there Karis, which is the Tosfos Rosh's point. The Tosfos Rosh's argument was, why are you giving this guy Karis? He had the purest of attention. Says the Tosfos Rosh, no, he didn't. But Rashi learns, no, this guy was Taka Tzadik, and he thought he'll get it done, and something happened, he mistimed something. So why does he get Karis? So if you look at number 7, in the Birkas Avraham, Avraham Erlinger, one of the Rosh Hashivas in Kol Torah, he writes, V'niru mikan, you see from Rashi a big chiddush. The lechi of Karis ain't tzarech b'mezid gomor. In order to get Karis, you don't need to be so guilty. So mazit. Elasagi bipshia bidregazu. You can be slightly negligent. Shehisruba v'ro'ulachos l'divrem. So he wants to suggest that in Rashi's case, he should have at least taken into consideration what everyone else was telling him. According to this, let's say a guy says, I'm mutter. Everyone around him tells him, the piece of meat you're about to eat is asr. He goes, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, it's mutter. That's oime mutter. I think what I'm doing is mutter. So argues the Birkas of Rome, the Fizeh, should get karis. If people who know something, who at least you should take their words into consideration, people who don't know anything that tell you, so you don't have to listen to them, they don't know anything. But if someone who knows, and they're telling you, listen buddy, this is questionable, so he learns that that's enough to give you karis. So he wants to say that's the way Rashi learned our Gemara. Rashi learned our Gemara that the reason why, again, you can't get Misa for that because you're not at a blade, you're not doing anything wrong. But Karis, you should have at least taken into consideration the words of those around you. Therefore, he wants to argue, and that's why you get Karis. Now, this is L'chairo, the Tais Rosh would argue on this Nakuda. The Tais Rosh would say that that's nothing. Why do I have to take their words into consideration? Even if they're big Rabbanim and they're big expert Moilim, but I know what I know and I don't have to take it in consideration. So this is a very Yisraelistic Machloikis Rishonim between Rashi and Tais Rosh. How much do I have to take into consideration those around me? He does add, we're talking about those people that Anoshim Sharoyu Hayulachas of the Rain. Right, let's say, for example, the Moil shows up and there's five other expert Moilim who have been doing Mila for 50 years and they all tell him, listen, buddy, it's not going to happen. So then maybe you should take their words into consideration. So that's going to be L'chayv, the Machloikis Rishonim between Rashi.
It's a factual question. I'm eating something that they say is treif. I know the origin of this meat, but they think they know.
Ah.
But I know.
Right, so that's the case of oyme mutter. Oyme mutter means I'm saying it's mutter. Now the question is, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I think, again, if it's strictly factual, I went to the store and they don't know anything, but if it's a question of halach and I just think they're all making a mistake, so then the argument is I should at least take into consideration what they're doing and not eat the meat. That's the argument that the Birkas Aram is pointing out.
If there's a difference in a dispute over halacha versus fact.
That's correct. Obviously, if they don't know the facts, they don't know the metzias, so then they're just making a mistake. But if it's something which is halachically, then I should at least take into consideration what they're saying. Okay.
And if you're right factually, then you're not high in Taurus anyway because you didn't do an Avera.
What if you turn out to be wrong?
I'm talking about a case where it turns out you were wrong. Right. That's what happens if it turns out you were wrong.
So if it's over Munter, in Jake's scenario where I absolutely know 100% that it's kosher,
right.
They just don't
Right.
Maybe you were wrong.
Right, but the question is, let's say it turns out that I was wrong.
But your facts were that you were 100%
right. Right, but because, the argument of it is because there are people that know more than me that are pointing out to me that I might be missing something, it might be right for me to listen to what, at least consider what they're saying.
So then there's never a scenario where Das Torah or whatever says, don't do it, you don't have to listen, because there's no such thing as Omer Mutter, because you're never going to be necessarily right.
No, if there are people that are telling you don't know what they're talking about and you're smarter than them and you know you're smarter than them. But if these people don't know anything, they don't know what they're talking about. But if it's, you know, a bunch of people that are experts in the field and they're suggesting to me that I should at least take into consideration, so then in that case, I'll get karis. Again, not misa, but just karis.
Isn't the case of shogeg anyway? Worse than shogeg.
Is not mesa. Oh, okay, good. That takes us to the next sheet. Okay, good. Good. So let's see. Now, this all brings us to a third sheet in the Gemara, the Rambam Shita. Very difficult Rambam over here. The Rambam is in Hilchos Shkagas, number 8 in the Maror Mekayimus, Perek Beis Halacha Tezok. The Rambam. Uman Shebalomo Lifnois Hayoim B'yema Shabbos. A Mayalu comes to do a Mila Lifnois Hayoim. Interesting wording. Lifnois Hayoim. As the day is starting to go, the day is starting to end. They tell him, "Loi nishar panai b'yom kadesh timol." You will not have enough time remaining in the day to do the mila kadesh timol. Vim tascha lomol, and if you'll start, loi tashlam ad yitzias haShabbos. You will not conclude until Shabbos is over. V'nimtzas choyvel b'Shabbos v'layasa mitzvah. It's going to come out that you did a chavala without a mitzvah. V'omar, and he says back to the naysayers, "Rogelani, I'm used to this. V'zarviz, I'm quick. U'b'mehera emol, I'll get it done very fast." He says, "Nah, I got this covered. Don't worry about it." Im lo hishlem ella ad yitzias haShabbos. If let's say he doesn't get it done till Shabbos closes, till Shabbos is already over, harei ze chayv chatos. Gets a chatos. Sharei hisru ba, because he was warned. Very difficult, Rambam. What's problem number one with the Rambam? It's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says he gets karis, not a chatos. Second problem with the Rambam is whenever a person brings a chatos, it's usually because he was a shogeg. He was not warned. Here the Rambam says, the reason why he brings a chatos is because he was warned. That's the opposite. That should not explain why you bring a chatos. That should explain why you don't bring a chatos. Hasra is a reason for not bringing a chatos. Hasra means I'm guilty. I was warned, and I was prepped, and I'm guilty. That's not a reason to bring a chatos. The lack of hasra is a reason to bring a chatos. So why does the Rambam say that the reason why you bring a chatos is because you had hasra? That's fakir. That's backwards. It should be the reason why I'm chayv chatos is because I didn't have asra. Very, very difficult Rambam. So the Kesef Mishnah number 9 points out on the Rambam. He writes, and it's also a very difficult Kesef Mishnah. Kivegra has a tshuva where he tries to figure out heads and tails of this Kesef Mishnah. As we'll see, it's a very hard Kesef Mishnah to read. Let's read the Kesef Mishnah number 9. V'yesh l'tmu al Rabbeinu. Frekt the Kesef Mishnah on. I'm sorry. That's the first line. Amrina. The chol ki agavna oynish karis. The Gemara says in such a case you get karis. Umash mal Rabbeinu, and the Rambam learned the kimon the oynish karis chayiv chatos. That because it carries an oynish karis, that's why you get chatos. What does that mean? Do you get chatos or do you get skila? Which one is it? The yesh l'tmu al Rabbeinu. Frekt the Kesef Mishnah. Shekasav arei ze chayiv chatos sharei hisru ba. Shehasra ein oytam lechayiv chatos ela ptur mechatos. What are you talking about? That because you gave him asur, that's why he gets a chatos? That's the opposite. Because you gave him asur, that's why he's amazed. And if he's amazed, he doesn't get chatos. Chatos for those that are shaking. V'yishloimah says the Kesef Mishnah, the hocha, shani, shalei neschavin la'ava b'mezid. He had no intention of doing it on purpose. Not like the Tosfos Rosh. Fakert. Says the Kesef Mishnah, I would have thought in this Gemara that this guy is mamish in the clear. He does even bring a karban chatos. Why? But neishu onos. He's completely exempt from everything. He's not even a shoygeg. This wasn't an accident. This was an anus. He showed up saying to himself, "I'm going to get this done. I've done it a million times. I'm not even chayav chatos." Lekach kosev zok the kesef mishnah. That's why the Rambam added those words. Shemiacha shehisru ba. Once he was warned, ain't a anus. You can't call this guy an anus. The gam ain't amazed. You also can't call him amazed. Kivus leinus chav and lavar. He didn't intend to go against anyone. So the Rambam is like a middle sheet over here. He's not like the Tosfos Rosh who holds the guy was an Avarian. He's not like Rashi that holds the guy was completely, you know, not wrong. He holds he's Chayv Chata, he's a Shoigig. He's not an Oinus because he got warning. So his warning should have at least knocked him to another level of being not an Oinus. But he's not amazed because he thought he was going to get it done. So therefore, Zakti Rambam, he's a Shoigig, and that's why he brings a Chatos. That's how the Rambam learned our Gemara. So we have three Shitas. We have Rashi, Tosfos Rosh, and the Rambam. Says of Chatzkel Abramsky, number 10 in the Sefer Chazon Yecheskel, he wants to point out what exactly is the point of argument between the Rambam and Rashi. And according to Rashi, this guy is getting Karis. He's not getting Misa, but he's getting Karis. According to the Rambam, he's not even getting Karis, he's just going to be getting some form of a Chatos. He's a Shoigig. So says the Chazon Yecheskel, V'nihid l'inyin chiyav Misa's bezdin, lo yazlina basa diburai. Meaning, what would happen if it comes to Mises Bezdin? Says Reb Chatzkel Abramsky, the Amar Misvikina, Heichesh Hisruba Vekiba Lav Hasra Kedemash Megisat Adisefta. Says Reb Chatzkel Abramsky, what would happen if this was a question of Mises Bezdin? A guy's about to do something, and the agent tell him, listen, buddy, it's not going to happen, you're not going to get it done, and you're going to get the death penalty. And he says, I got this covered. Would he get Mises Bezdin? So Rashi says, no, he doesn't get Mises Bezdin. Says Reb Chazon Yecheskel, he doesn't get Mises Bezdin. I said, then why did he get Karis? What's the difference? If this is an acceptable answer, that I know better than everyone around me, and I know I can get it done, so why does he even get Karis? Says the Chazon Abramsky, and we saw similar from this in the Birkas Avraham of Rama Ellinger, says the Chazon Yecheskel, the le'inyin chiyuv Mises Bezdin hasra hui ikur, v'tomen azlina basra. When it comes to Mises Bezdin, everything is based on the warning. V'kivin shehisrubei bevadish le'yaspik ligmar, and since those around you are warning you, they're telling you it's not going to happen, v'yischayiv miso, v'hu kibel olav v'hasra, and he accepts it. Harei zechayiv av b'shebedayit elas is mitzvah b'maseh uzeh. Once you accept the information given to you by the onlookers, says Reb Chazon Yecheskel, that gets you Mises Bezdin. Mises Bezdin just needs to know you heard those around you, and you accepted it. When it comes to Karis, it goes by what was in your heart. Since in my heart I intended to be doing good and I intended to finish it, that's what counts. I never intended to be a bad person. I just mismanaged my time. That's why I can't get Karis. So he's saying that the difference between Mises Bezdin and Karis is when it comes to Mises Bezdin, your intentions are irrelevant. If you're told by those around you that this is not going to happen, that makes you amazing. But when it comes to Kares, where it's all about intention, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see what's in your mind, then if you deep down in your heart had positive intentions that I'm going to get it done and I'm going to finish, then you don't get Kares. And then he adds, U'lechein kasev Rambam behilchos shkagit, and he quotes our Rambam, and we'll just skip where he quotes the words of the Rambam, where he writes, the Sakat Dei Chachamim, he quotes like the Kesef Mishnah, the Sakat Dei Chachamim, l'poiter mechatas nei shoinus, I would have thought you should be potter. He thought he could finish it. He should be like anyone who makes a mistake trying to do a mitzvah. But once he got that warning, he no longer can be considered a guy who made a mistake. He's not amazing. He never intended to do against the Torah. How can the Rambam say he gets a chatos if the Gemara says he gets karis? Says the Chatzkel Abramsky, "Kloy me yesh inyan shel chatos kidei lechayv chat kidei yesh inyan shel karis kidei lechayv chatos." He kvetches a little bit. Reb Chatzkel Abramsky, he says you have to read the Gemara that he did a sin that has with it karis, which could carry a chatos. I mean, he's not going to actually get cursed, according to the Rambam. According to Rashi, he's actually getting cursed. According to the Tosfos Rosh, he's actually getting cursed. He's going to die young. Mashenkin, according to the Rambam, he's not really actually getting a cursed. He just did a sin which normally does carry cursed. He's not getting it because he was a shoygig, and therefore he carries a karma chattis. That's how the Rambam is going to have to kvetch into the words of the Gemara. Okay. So let's get back to the million-dollar question on the table. Is Reb Kiveger's kasha? Frektib Kiveger. We know that Mila B'Shabbat, Kilkel B'Shabbat is Potter. If you're Mekalkel, if you destroy something on Shabbos, you're Potter. So Frektib Kiveger, so why is every Mila an issue on Shabbos? The answer is because every Mila is not Mekalkel. Every Mila accomplishes something. It makes the baby not an oral. It makes the baby ois oral. But Frektib Kiveger, in this case, where you did half a Mila on Shabbos, you accomplished nothing. So all you did was destructive. You were Mekalkel. Mekalkel b'Shabbos Potter. So what's the whole shaila in the Gemara? He gets kares, he gets a chai, he gets nothing. He's part of the Garmi because all he did was a destructive act. What he did on Shabbos was nothing productive. Nothing had any accomplishment to it. So says Reb Kivei. Good. We'll see Reb Kivei Bavarnz then in 1 second. So says Reb Kivei, number 11. Chuvas Reb Kivei, number 11. He writes, Mikol Mokem L'Nisdaiti Le'ikka L'Dina. He's Kvegi in this tshuva is talking about a different child. He wants to talk about a case. Dibimol shaloi bezmani b'Shabbos. Let's say you did a mila shaloi bezmani on Shabbos. Now we know mila shaloi bezmani is not doiche Shabbos, but let's say you did it. What punishment would the moel get? So on one hand, Kvegi says he gets no punishment because all he did was a makalkel. Makalkel b'Shabbos is potter. Says Kvegi no. He says that even though mol shaloi bezmani dimahani ve'ein tzarich lahat of dambris, the domi shabbos l'sheichet b'Shabbos. Says Reb Kivega, no. If you did a Mila Shlob Bezmane in Shabbos, you accomplished something. The ain't Tzarech Latav Men Dambris. You don't even need a Tavas Dambris. Yeah. You don't need a Tavas Dambris. The Dami Shapil Sheikhit B'Shabbos. What happens if you do Shechit on Shabbos? Is the animal treif? Vada not. The animal's kosher. So therefore, your action accomplished something. The Gam Hamila Afim Nidon Dolei Mahani V'Tzarech Latav Dambris Mikom Okam Loyav Mekalkal. Even the osak tzas min ha-mitzvah. Says Reb Kivega, even though what I did over here is not the full mitzvah, but it's part of the mitzvah. Da'i deze ein mechus etikun kolkach l'masha ayim mekoidim. Da'at ha-chos ha-raka tovaz dambris mikami misakin. Mikri misakin. Says Reb Kivega, gavaldik yisoid. If I do a mila shaloi bezmane on Shabbos, I cut the baby, I do the whole mila. So now the baby's not gemalt, but he needs a tovaz dambris. But I did accomplish something because now I limited to what the baby needs to do tomorrow. Instead of the baby tomorrow needing a new ma'isa chaticha, all the baby needs tomorrow is a tavas dambris. So I did something. I got him closer to what he needs to become gemalt. Says Reb Kivega, getting you closer to the final result is also a tikkun. That's Reb Kivega's chiddush. And he says, I'll bring you a beautiful raya. The raya lezeh misugi di Shabbos. He's right from our Gemara. It says in our Gemara, "Vimlay hilket oynish karis." If you didn't finish up, you get karis. The Gemara says, "The oved v'lay stop to the shtaka chabur hu oved v'amai." For Akiv Kivega, how do you learn our Gemara? V'amai chayv karis. How have you mekalkel? Kivin delay nigma milasei. El al korchach. Kivin de mikom makom osa haschalta mehamila shiroy legamre mikri misakin. Says the Kivega, because you started the process, you got further along. So now when it came Matzah Shabbos, you had less to do. So that's considered a Masakin. You accomplish something. What? That you'll have to do after Shabbos, right. Adds Reb Kivega, V'loimer d'hachtona svilei mekalka b'chabur chayiv. And just to answer my kasha and give me a poshne answer, that the reason why the Gemara says Yechayiv curse because our Gemara is going, that mekalka is chayiv, it can't be. Because the Rambam paskal laha. The Rambam paskins our Gemara. And the Rambam paskins mekalka b'chabur is potter. So therefore, says Reb Kivega, you're going to have to say a teretz. Because the Rambam paskins are din, that if the guy brings a chatas, why is he bringing a chatas? He's potter legamri. All he did was a mekalkel. Says Reb Kivega, he's not a mekalkel. Why? Because whatever he did on Shabbos got us closer to our final procedure. The procedure was, he already did one half, so now we have only one half less to do. Therefore, says Reb Kivega, that makes him considered as if he's not a mekalkel. Now if you turn... Again, the halachic bris was not completed on Shabbos. But because whatever he didn't... Right, that was Reb Kivega's case. But go back to our Gemara. And our Gemara was, Mila Bismana was day 8, but you didn't finish everything until Shabbos ended. So whatever you did on Shabbos, we would look at as just destructive. Says Reb Kivega, no, it's not.
But my question is Mila Shalom Bismana,
right.
9 o'clock in the morning on Shabbos morning.
Right.
That's the ninth day.
Right. Right.
Is that a meal or is that not a meal?
So again, what you would—it's not a meal, but all you need to do now to fix this is just do a tavas dambris.
So what do you have to fix? The fact that it was done on Shabbos.
Right. The fact that it was done incorrectly. So you drop a little blood and you're good to go. Says Reb Kivega. So what I did on Shabbos was very productive. It got me now to the point that that Sunday morning, all I got to do is a little drop. So how can you tell me the act was destructive? It was very productive. Debatable. When we did the sugya, it seems to be a shaila. It's questionable. But what Kivega's point is that if I got you closer to your destination, that's also considered accomplishing. Now, if you look at
number... Shlomo's motto.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Now the truth is, this idea of Reb Kiveger, I think, is Mefurish in the Me'iri on number 12. If you look at the Me'iri number 12. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
It, yeah. Again, that's an issue. That'd be an issue of the Rabbanan. But Reb Kiveger's point is, Reb Kiveger wants to know, if I look at what was done on Shabbos, was this productive or destructive? So we would have said it's destructive. You did nothing. So Reb Kiveger, no, it's productive because I got you closer to where you need to be. Okay, well, we'll talk more about it in a second. What?
Before the defective meal is an aura, now is defective. Are you closer?
Good. I want to get to that in 2 seconds. Okay, good. I want to discuss that in a second. But just let's see the Me'iri first, and then Blinette will come back to this Reb Kiveger. If you look at the Me'iri number 12, the Me'iri goes through the Gemara. The Me'iri writes, the Me'iri happened to have learned like the Ran, that the Gemara was a case of Mila without Priya, not a case of Tzitzin HaMa'akvin, which will be very important going forward. Says the Me'iri, if you delayed it till the Ben Ashmosh is of Matzah Shabbos, they say to him, how can you start? You can't finish on Shabbos. The Nimsis is going to come out. He doesn't listen to them. The Hiskel Einish Kars. Shari Loi Brishos Hiskel had no permission to start. Because he did a Mila on Friday without on Shabbos without a Priya. Kilo Loi Mol. And even the priya that he did at night ain't a mitzvah. She'ein mila el b'yoyim. Umitayras mekalkel i'ata paitrei. Frek the Me'iri Reb Kiveger's kasha. Why don't we exempt him as a mekalkel? Sherei mikol mokoi mitaken hu b'masha asa. He accomplished with whatever he did. What does that mean? He didn't accomplish anything. The baby is useless. The baby is not considered gemalt. So the chayri is going to have to say he means like Reb Kiveger. That Reb Kiveger says, as long as I got you further along the chain of requirements to be completed, that's good enough. Now let's just see two more things about this. There's a Ber Halacha, number 13. The Ber Halacha talks about a person who rips a beged on Shabbos. So Nebuch, if a person finds out about a death on Shabbos, so they don't rip their beged on Shabbos, they don't do kriya on Shabbos. But the Ber Halacha is discussing, we know that if a person rips a beged on Shabbos, that's mekalkel. That's destructive. Mekalkel is potter, according to many. So says Reb Kiveger, says the Ber Halacha, let's say a guy rips a beged on Shabbos because of avelos. He finds out on Shabbos that a family member died and he rips his beged. So on one hand, you'll say that's mekalkel. On the other hand, it's productive because it was mekayim the mitzvah of kriya. But says the Ber Halacha like this, number 13. Says the Ber Halacha in Simon Shin Mem, writes the Ber Halacha. So listen to what he writes over here. He writes, V'teida, the Bikareya al Mesa da Minan de Gemara de Chayim Mishum de Hutika Mitzvah de Kriya. The Gemara says, you are. The Gemara says, a person rips his beged on Shabbos, he fulfills the mitzvah of Kriya. Al Korcho Kishiye Shir Tefach. Says the Ber Halacha, it must be that he ripped it enough that it's a Tefach. The Bipachos Mizeh, let's say, for example, he's so upset over the loss of his family member, he rips his beged, but he rips less than a Tefach. The Bipachos Mizeh Loi Havi Shir Kriya. I feel a shakra of him. Less than a tefach is not enough to be considered a rip. And therefore, it's not considered like he accomplished anything. Okay, that's the Ber Halacha's comment. So the Ber Halacha says if a person is going to nebuch rip a beged over the loss of a family member on Shabbos, he better make sure to rip it all the way. He better rip it the tefach that's required. Because if he were to rip less than a tefach, then he would not be yotze the mitzvah. If he's not yotze the mitzvah, then it's just an act of destruction. Frek the Achrayin in 1 second. Why don't you say like Reb Kiveger that he ripped half a tefach and now he only has one more half a tefach to rip? So you got him further along in his process. According to Reb Kiveger, as long as what I did on Shabbos got me somewhere on my to-do list, now instead of having to rip a full tefach after Shabbos, I only have to rip a half a tefach.
Half after Shabbos, do the other half tefach.
That's a shayla. The assumption is that if a person ripped a half, he can rip the other half and complete to a tefach. So if you assume like that, and you assume like Reb Kiveger, then the Ber Halacha seems to be shver. So if you look at number 14, I forgot the name of the sefer where I got this from, he writes, V'yesh la'ayim b'dvarav. D'mikom okim havi tikun. The chayr of the Ber Halacha is shver. Because even ripping less than a tefach should be a tikun. Why? D'myov l'ham shecha kriya sagi l'gam l'tefach. Because now if I want to continue the ripping, I don't need to rip so much. Because I only need to just finish it up. The Efshir, he wants to say, the Efshir, the Hadin Lekrea Tefach, Hushikot Tefach Sholim Vivasachas. He wants to tell you in a halach lemaisa, maybe, that you're not allowed to do ripping in intervals. You can't rip a half and then rip another half. You have to rip the whole tefach in one motion.
Right, you have, you have to do another tefach the following day. They have tefach that would help.
Ah, so he's, that's what he's debating. He writes, he's saying, V'ra'isi b'sefer Gesher Chaim, and I saw in the Gesher Chaim and Michal Chikachinsky, the go-to sefer on Hilchas Avelis, where he's mistopic with Dabi. He's not so sure. He's not so sure if you can rip a half and then rip another half, the other half the other time. Or the dinners that has, again, you have to have a tefach ripped. The question is, does it have to be done b'vas achas? Or could you do it in intervals? I rip half now and the other half later. So he wants the time.
Why wouldn't the tefach be into a Baba Veir anyway?
I mean, that's what the Gemara discusses over the Shabbos. That's the whole sugya over the Shabbos. The Gemara discusses this. And the whole Gemara discusses, why does it count? It should be a Baba Veir. That's the whole discussion. But the words of the Gemara are that if you kareya al mesoi, that's considered a productive act in Yechayiv. Says the Be'alacha, only if you rip the tefach. Argues the Achrayin in 1 minute, one second. If even if you rip the half a tefach, and then you'll do the other half a tefach after Shabbos, so that doesn't make my half a tefach a makalko. It makes my half a tefach, according to Kiveger, halfway there. So he wants to tie in a lechari of a raya from this Be'er Halacha, that the Be'er Halacha holds, you have to rip the whole tefach at one shot. A half a tefach and half a tefach doesn't work. So therefore, then the Be'er Halacha is very geshmak. So when you rip the half a tefach on Shabbos, you didn't do anything. So therefore, says the Be'er Halacha, in order to be yoytze, kriya b'Shabbos, it has to be that you rip the whole tefach at one shot. If you look in number 15, the Minchas Ariel, he wants to tie in a different teretz, which I don't really understand, but we'll read it together. He writes, V'oydei shlodim, d'shani mila. Maybe there's a difference between mila and ripping. Shezeh tikun gavra. Maybe when it comes to mila, Rebbe Kiveger will hold that when you do half of a whole maisa, that's already tikun the gavra. V'chol miktas u'miktas moyel tikun. Maybe then you'll say every little bit that you do gets you closer to the final fixing. I don't really understand the difference, in my humble opinion. To me, both of them are the same thing. If there's a certain procedure that needs to get done to have a final result, it shouldn't matter the difference. But I put that down just for argument, if you want to try to figure out what he means in this chaluk. But Rabbi said there's a fundamental kasha, which I think that needs to be bavarned over here. If you hold that what you did on Shabbos is, well, again, let's go back a step. Why is what I did on Shabbos Aser? Let's assume that you were Sheikhit. That you caused the Chavala, you caused the Chabur for no reason. So then, says Rebbe Kiveger, it's not for no reason. Because it got me to a next step. But there's a Chuma Sadeshin that learns in Rashi, that Rashi holds that the reason why you're not allowed to do Mila B'Shabbos is because it's Makav Patish. You're fixing the baby. Till now the baby was an Oral, and now he's not an Oral. So Frektich Sam Seifer, what do you do in this case? This case, the baby on Shabbos was not a finished product. He's an oral, the baby. So how do you explain Reb Kivega's answer doesn't help? Reb Kivega's answer only helps if you're assuming the Isra on Shabbos is Chavala. And therefore it's destructive. So I'll argue what I did was not destructive. But if you hold, like Rashi, according to the Truma Sadeshin, that the Isra is Makabe Patish, then when you give that cut, you fix the baby, you make him now an oral, the baby's an oral like any other oral. So what did you accomplish? So, L'chayr, what are you going to have to say? This is Rashi L'shitasa. How did Rashi learn the Gemara? Rashi learned we're talking about what? The tzitzin. We mentioned 2 weeks ago that Marshal holds that even if you hold tzitzin on Ma'akvin es Amila, you still don't have a shame oral. You don't have a shame oral for tzitzin on Ma'akvin es Amila. So, Mela, Rashi L'shitasa is beautiful. Rashi holds like the Chumash Hadeshim, that it's called Ma'akva Patish. And therefore, the problem would have been that when you're fixing the baby, and I am fixing the baby, because going back for tzitzin ma'akvin does not take off the shame oral. The chaticha takes off the shame oral. So this baby would not be considered an oral anymore, and therefore I accomplished something.
You don't need priya to be mitakin.
No, but Rashi didn't learn it was the case of priya. Rashi learned it was tzitzin ma'akvin. You're right, if you hold like the Ran and the Me'iri, that it's priya, the Mishnah says without priya you did zero, you accomplished nothing. So if you accomplish nothing, you can't tell me that that's Makabe Patish. But according to Rashi, we're not learning it's Priya. We're learning according to Rashi, it's Tzitzin HaMa'akvin. And we mentioned that Tzitzin HaMa'akvin, although you need to go back for it, it's not like you did nothing. The baby is not an oral. And therefore, since the baby is not oral, you did accomplish something. So if you did accomplish something, so then you're talking out of Makalko. So it's very geshmak, Rashi Lushitasu. Okay, I want to have one more Nekud over here, is Rebbe Kveger's other Kasha. Rebbe Kveger had a kasha, and how can you give the guy any form of punishment that was ben hashmashes? You can't give him a punishment ben hashmashes because ben hashmashes is safik yom, safik laila. So there's a geshmaka shtikul Torah from the Zeche Yitzchak from Itzel Ponovich. He writes like this. This is the last source, number 16. He writes, Omnam nira, the chomad matzinu b'shas de ben hashmashes havi safik.
He's going to come up with a gevaldige chiddush of how do we understand Bein HaShemashes. Just to remind ourselves, Bein HaShemashes is between Shkia and Tzeis HaKechav. Those 40-something minutes, however you want to calculate it, after Shkia, before Tzeis HaKechav, it's called twilight. Bein HaShemashes. So we know that Savi Yom Savi Laila. What real halachic status does it have? So says the Rebbe Tzalponovich, Omnam Nira, the Chomad the Mitzinu B'Shas, the Bein HaShemashes have a suffix. That we find the Chol HaTorah Kula, the Bein HaShemashes is a suffix. The Don and Bal Kechum Reishneim, and we give it a Chumah like both. Zerakim Adiyon Hu Le'eze Yoyim Hu. That's only a question if you want to know what day it is. Meaning, is today Beis, or is it Aleph? Meaning, when I come to tonight, let's say for example, today would be Beis Nisan. So today's Beis Nisan. Now I get into tonight after Shkia. So I ask myself, is it now Beis Nisan, or is it Gimel Nisan? Is it the previous day, or is it ready the next day? He says like this, Avol Dine Atayre Deboi Yoyim V'Layla. He says, but when the Torah says it needs to be day or night, the Chol Shehu Bein HaShemashes Kvar Eino Yoyim. Once it's already Bein HaShemashes, it's no longer day. De'eino lo yoyim v'lo laila. It's no longer day and it's not night. You have to ask yourself, if it needs, is this considered yesterday? How is it suffix lon? I'm not sure. So when I ask myself during twilight zone, what is it? So I'm not asking myself, is it day or is it night? I'm asking it, is it yesterday or is it tomorrow? That's the question of Bein HaShemashes. But if something that the Torah says needs to be actual day, then for sure Bein HaShemashes doesn't work. So it says with Rebbe Tzalponovich, when we talk about Bein HaShemashes, the question always is not, is it day or is it night? The question always is it yesterday or is it today? That's the question. So he says, what's his raya? His raya is from our Gemara. He says, v'chein pasak harambam. The raya goes to our whole Gemara, and he writes, third line, diary, Safik Shabbos uvikaris b'safik leshayich. After Kamishmaya Galia, you see what I mean? Why can you get Karis? Karis comes from Hashem. Hashem knows the suffix. Vim hischel b'soy bin Hashemash, the Rebivada in Kanchiv Karis. Omnom lafi mashka safdi, osi shaprehetiv. Kivan the Mila bein bezmane, bein shle bezmane, einu neheges el biyoim. Says a bit so part of it, it's beautiful. Bein Hashemash is only a question of, is it yesterday or is it tomorrow? But when it comes to Mila, I don't care what day it is. I need it to be day. Proper day. He says, Bein Hashemash is for sure not day. Bein Hashemash is either yesterday or tomorrow. But it's not yoim proper. So he writes, Im Kain, Im Kain, B'mal B'Bein HaShemashes, B'vadeh L'Kayim HaMitzvah. If you did a meal of B'Bein HaShemashes, you're for sure no good. Because B'Bein HaShemashes is for sure not day. Well, L'Zeh Gamim Shabbos, U'Chayiv Karis. K'mo Yimoy, B'mal B'Lel Shabbos, B'vadeh Chayiv Karis. This is a Gevaldik Echidish, B'Bitzel, how to explain B'Bein HaShemashes. B'Bein HaShemashes is only a question of going to yesterday. Is it Yom Shvi, or is it Yom Shmini? But it's definitely not Yom. It's no longer day. So it says Reb itself, it's no longer day. So then Avada, it's Milo, that's not B'yoyim. If it's not Milo B'yoyim, it's not suffering anymore, and therefore I'm Avada in a violation of the Karis. Okay, that's a Gevaldik Echidish and how to understand Bein HaShemashes.
Meaning, does Mila have to be B'yoyim or it can't be B'yoyim?
Right, he's saying it has to be B'yoyim. It has to be B'yoyim. And this is definitely not considered B'yoyim. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael Mirtz Hashem, next Sunday we'll discuss the Shiloh of negated contracts. How that works out in Lumdus. It's a lot of Lumdus. And Halacha Lamaisa, practically, what do you do with canceled contracts due to Corona and the outbreaks? Mr. Shem, that will be next Sunday's share. Same time, same place.
David Pollack, make sure you tune in Tuesday night, David.
And Tuesday night as well. You don't want to miss it. Hopefully we'll be back in our shuls by then, but if not, Mr. Shem will meet here again at the same time. Mr. Shem. Yeah. Take care, everyone. Be safe, be healthy, have a wonderful week.
Thank you very much, Yeshua. Rabbi?
Yeah, Michael, I'm right here.
Okay, I got a couple of requests.
Yeah.
That people want you to record it on Zoom. So let me just show you. Go to the bottom of the screen.
Okay.
You see the record button?
Yep.
Hit that when you start. They told me it will save to your laptop. Okay, and then you can either email it out or people can join the meeting at a later date and time.
Okay.